This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone, Jamie Morris. We got Chef Paul Bailey in the house. I don't know what he's serving up, but it's serving pretty good. It's going down. That being said, we also have Mr. Electric, Matty Boom Boom Leach. And as our guest, we got the Swiss Army Knife. And folks, I must tell you this. To know where to go, you got to know your history. And only the people that played in the past can tell you where you're going to go. And the guy that I'm bringing on helped to tell me what this Michigan-Ohio State game is about and what Michigan is about. I'm talking about the Swiss Army Knife himself, Jim Betts. What's up, Jim Betts? How you doing, man?
How did I become Swiss Army Knife?
Because Tom Goss reminded me you were a quarterback, remember? And you're a defensive back. I mean, you're the Swiss Army Knife, dog.
Quarterback, safety, you do it all.
Well, I guess when, they were paying $100,000, I had to give them whatever I had, you know.
Jim, I talk about this game, Michigan-Ohio State. It's one of the biggest games in recent times. But, that 69 game was huge. And when I talk about that to people, oh, it ain't as big as this game. I'm like, you don't know. You need to be educated. So I need to educate people on this, on 1969, why it was so important.
Well, first of all, I think what most people don't understand is back in those days, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas were probably the major recruiting grounds. On our team, we had, half the team was from Ohio. So you take half your team from Ohio and you're playing against Ohio State, it starts to give you a sense of somebody's got to get their ass kicked and it ain't going to be us, you know. Because those same guys that were on that team, we played against in high school and so on and so forth. So it was just a carryover from, you know, coming out of high school, going to college. But more importantly, in 1968, we went down there and they beat us 50-14. Now, I don't know how most folks feel about getting whipped that bad, but it did not set well with us at all. And we vowed that the next year would be a hell of a lot different. Now, little did we know that we were going to be changing coaches during, right around Christmas time, actually. So from November, we had like this, we were still with Bump, and then all of a sudden we get this guy named Schembechler, and then he brings these guys up from Ohio. And one of the first things he did was he had 50-14 put in the locker room area. So he wasn't going to let us forget how bad we had gotten beaten the year before. And more importantly, he was not going to let Woody beat him after Woody had taught him everything he knew. So the game itself was really based on a lot of Ohio guys playing against one another, and then you bring in the other guys we had on the team from Michigan. So it meant a hell of a lot to us, and that was how we approached the game. We were not going to get beat by these guys that beat us the year before, and we looked at every position where they had outmanned us and outgunned us the year before, and we vowed that we would take back the field, and certainly not going to let them beat us in our own house. Now, thank God you had a guy like Schembechler who understood how important it was to establish yourselves as a contender, especially because of his relationship with Woody. So from day one, they would put a play in for Ohio State. So the entire season, they continue to put a play in each practice for Ohio State. We didn't know that they were doing that, but when we finally got to the game, we didn't have to worry about wrinkles or anything like that. We had been practicing the same plays both offensively and defensively all year long. So it became kind of a secondary habit for us when we got to the game. You know, a lot of times you go, well, we haven't seen that, or you haven't seen that, or don't know how to react. That wasn't the case. We knew exactly what we were going to do. We knew right after the Iowa game that we were going to beat Ohio State, and we were going to beat their ass bad. Coming to our house, we weren't going to let them get off the ground. And that's kind of how we approached that game. And then once Bo got his first victory against them, you know, it was a sweet taste. And each year, that was what it was all about, Michigan-Ohio State. We had some lean years now where we didn't really have the intensity of that rivalry because, one, we didn't really have, I think, guys that understood how intense it should be. And also, we didn't have players who, you know, came out of Ohio, because we lost a lot of guys over the years to Ohio State that we typically would have gotten from Ohio. So it changed the whole dynamics. And then all of a sudden, we're back now. They went back into Cleveland and some of the other areas in Ohio and started recruiting, you know, intensely. So you bring back that connection of guys who understand, you know, how important this rivalry is. And then you just, you know, happen to go in there undefeated. That makes it even better. So this is a game, the way it always was, Michigan-Ohio State, at the end of the year, determined back in the day who was going to be the Big Ten champs and go to the Rose Bowl. Now it's all about who's going to make the playoffs and become the Big Ten champs. So it's important. And, you know, most folks, they got to really kind of delve into more of the history and see some of the things that transpired. If you just look at some of the film of the game, when Marcus hit, what was his name, Boston, and turned him into a helicopter. When Woodson was fighting with my guy over on the sidelines, when we fought with him in the tunnel before the 69 game and whipped the behinds and told him it's going to be the same way on the field the next day, there's been some intensity in this game. And the guys that really get into it and know how intense it really is, they're usually all Ohio guys. So it's going to be a hell of a game, man. I'm going to find me a nice, quiet place to sit down and make sure I don't get hit by somebody running out of bounds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, probably a smart move over there, JB. And so, you know, I had the great privilege. It was the 40-year reunion, was my senior year here at the University of Michigan. And I remember your captain, El Diablo, Jim Mandich, getting up and addressing the team and talking about I've won two Super Bowls. I've been on the only undefeated Super Bowl team to this day. But there is no greater feeling than being carried off that field on those guys' shoulders after beating Ohio State in 1969. So if you could describe, you said that you knew you were going to whoop their ass, but then you went out there and did it. So describe that feeling after that game and hear all these years later what it still means to you.
Well, the day itself was really kind of strange. It was kind of cold. It was overcast. And then, did you guys ever watch that program, Gotham City? You ever see that thing?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
and how
Jamie's
and,
a comic
and the way the
nerd.
City
he
looks all,
did.
Yeah, the way the city looks all the time with electricity firing and crap all in the background, you know, thunder mm-hmm. and that kind of thing, lightning. So that's the kind of day it was, you know. It was kind of one of those electric days where you could walk out on the field and you could just feel the electricity starting to build. And when they told them, get those guys out of the tunnel before we come down, because if they don't get their asses out of the tunnel, they won't make it to the field. So get them out before we come out. So, you know, they only have to take one ass whipping and that'll be the one on the field. So, but it was an electric day. All the scoring was in the first half, so that was kind of strange in itself. But it was a game where, I mean, we just dominated. You know, it was much like the way they dominated them, you know, last year here. The only difference was the pregame fight. So I think we heard a few guys before we ever got to the field. So it was very electrifying. And then to actually win it, you saw how the fans and everybody reacted last year mm-hmm. after the game was over. And well, that's how it was. I mean, they tore down the doggone goalposts. Cannon about had a fit. He said, "Ah, damn it!" But because you know what he was thinking, that's going to cost money. But it was intense. It was very, very intense. And Mandich, you know, he deserved being carried off the field because he played his absolute heart out there. Play after play after play. And that was really how everybody, you know, play after play after play was, I got to dominate this play. I have to dominate the next play. I have to dominate the play after. It was one play at a time, but making sure, you know, you dominated that one play. So the game was over. Absolutely exhilarating. The fans were, you know, they were going crazy. Phone numbers are being handed out, you know, all kinds of strange things is going on.
I gotta ask you this question, Jim. Was it looked like it was a cold game. Was it cold?
It was about 35, 40 degrees, maybe. So yeah, it was, I mean, it kind of snowed the day before.
You can see your breaths.
It was pretty chilly.
Huh? You could see your breaths early. You know, the team's breathing and everything. You could see the breaths of the team. And I'm sitting there going,
yeah.
And that game, that was the game that said, wow, I want to go there. I want to be there.
it was more important to see their breath coming out of them when you bust them upside the head. That was what was most exhilarating. Not the fact that we could see our own. When theirs came out, you were like, yeah, I put one on you that time, didn't I? Brockington or Hayden or any of those guys that were playing. After the game, they, you know, they came up to us and they said, you guys kicked our ass. Because coming into that game, they were coming off of a national championship year in 68. They were being touted as the best team in America who could go out and probably compete with any professional team. And they specifically talked about the Vikings who had the purple people eaters on their team.
Right.
So
I remember that.
They were getting all the hype. And unfortunately, when they realized that they were in a dogfight, it was too late. We had broken their legs by then. So, but yeah, it was intense. And they came and came up to us and said, "Hey, man, you guys, you took it to us. We underestimated you." And I said, "I don't know how you could do that, Steelwagon, because we kicked your ass in the tunnel. You should have known then that it was going to be a dogfight." Come on, Kern. You know better than to take people lightly. But yeah, so it was fun.
Oh my goodness.
So JB, bringing it back to this year's team, because I know I saw you was at the game here not too long ago. So I know that obviously you still follow this team quite astutely. What does this version of the Wolverines, you know, that 69 game was here in Ann Arbor, but I know, like you said, you played in that game in 68. I know you've been to Columbus. What is it going to take for the Wolverines to come out of Columbus with the victory here on Saturday?
Well, first of all, as long as we don't get homered down there, I think we'll be okay. Secondly, I hope they don't either turn the showers off or put cold water down on us.
Don't nobody know what you're talking about?
Tell them the story about the cold water. They did it to Ricky, too, but it don't matter.
They don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, tell them about it.
Yeah, they turn off. Well, first they turn off the – well, let me tell you this. When we went down there in 70 – now they've got some turf instead of grass, right? They were out there watering the freaking turf so that it would kind of freeze over and be slick, because you had these old cheap ass Rydell shoes with red bottoms and these little stumpy cleats. If it was slick at all, your behind would be sliding all over the place. So they knew if they had the field slicked up, we'd have those shoes, and then, you know, they would have already gotten probably some regular old-time cleats with the metal tips on them to come out and play, you know. But the turning the water off, you know, so you don't have any water to take a shower, to do all that stuff, you know. It was, I mean, they just did all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. One year they just stopped our bus and wouldn't let us go to the stadium. Like, yeah. Bus driver said, "How come we stopped?" "Well, there's a problem up here that we have to wait until it clears up." And it was like, "Ain't nobody up there. What the hell are you talking about?" So they would do all kinds of things just to throw you off your game. So you gotta stay focused, you know, in terms of what you down there to do. And don't let all of that ancillary BS, you know, get in your head, because, you know, they will do different things. And the fans themselves are just, you know, absolutely rabid. So you got to, as a player, you got to just stay focused on what you got to do and not, you know, allow any of that stuff to you know, get into your head at all, because they will try a lot of stuff. And I tell you, if they go down there and they beat up on them like they did up here, it'll be crazy. The only thing they have to worry about, if, in fact, they beat them up and we win the game.
Yeah.
Jamie, you going to be down there?
No. Jim, I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson.
Well, tell anybody that's down there with the team, make sure they had a gun with them, because you got to shoot somebody to get off the field. I'm telling you that right now. Because these fans will come out there, man, they'll be mad as hell. But I think what they got to do, if controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball is really going to be the key. If we can, you know, control it on the offensive side and, you know, our guys get, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards a crack, that is going to be huge. If JJ can stay focused and hit and not try to make a big play, but just do what he's capable of doing, getting the ball to these guys on time and, you know, not high, we'll be good on that side. On the defensive side, You know, they've got some backs, and I think we can control them. But obviously, more important is getting some heat on Stroud, because if he's being flushed, he's not accurate. So, and he doesn't move as well as some, you know, what's his name did in the past. Was it Garrett? Barrett. Yeah. So
Barrett.
They just have to. They've got to just stay on them every freaking play, you know. Now, you will probably get beat once or twice, but don't let that, you know, get in your head and have you, you know, feeling down. You just come back and say, okay, you hit me once, now I'm getting ready to hit you about three times. So, and I think our guys are, you know, very capable of doing it. I think we got the defensive line that can really kind of control their offensive line and keep them from, you know, breaking big runs. But it's also, he's going to have to probably, you know, do a lot of blitzing, I think, on this guy to keep the heat on him, because our rush isn't going to be like the rush was, you know, last year with Aiden and what's his name, Jabu. So they're going to need a little extra help. Now, if our D-backs, if they got a whole tackle, whatever they got to do, just keep those guys from catching passes. That's all.
Hey, Jim, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I got Brand Stetter coming on the other side. So I appreciate, thank you for the laughs. Thank you for explaining 1969. And thank you for analyzing the team for this game.
Very welcome. They got the talent. They just have to believe in themselves that they can go ahead and do it. And I think, you know, winning last year has given a lot of these guys a lot of confidence in terms of going down there. Because obviously that wasn't the case, you know, a few years back. We hadn't beaten them in a while, so this will be good.
Thanks, Jim. We appreciate it. That's Jim Betts, former Swiss Army knife. You listening? We got to go. We'll come right back. You're listening to the M Zone, the premier show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.